Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard and your phone calls. Glad you're with us here on this second day of November for New Life.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. How are you guys doing?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still wiping off makeup from Halloween, as
yes.
I always do. Yes, my.
Are you going to share with us what you were? If you're wiping off
a clown.
Makeup. Oh, a clown.
You're a clown.
That's an odd.
A sad clown.
I was a very happy clown. Okay. Had very big rainbow hair and big shoes, clown shoes. I had a little horn, you know, that kind of thing, and just really embarrassed a lot of people that are related to me. But that is my job on Halloween.
Now, does your clown, as many clowns do, or I guess most clowns, they have a name? What would your clown's name be?
Steve-O.
That's a good. That is a novel name. I like that.
Yeah, Steve-O. Not Bozo,
no.
But Steve-O.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve-O the clown. Anyway, it's fun to do clowning things, especially when you're standing on the corner still and your family has no idea you've dressed up. They have no idea you're standing there. And then you scare them, come to life. And they discover it's the dad.
Oh,
very, very interesting.
When they become teenagers, anyway. That's like really bad. Like, oh, I don't know this man. You know?
No, that's right. Yeah, they always trick or
treat. Trust me, I know.
Okay, so anyway, we're glad everybody's with us today. Hope you survived it. Hope you're still having a candy hangover, which is quite common. Anyway, we love you. We love getting to be with you every day. Thanks for giving us your time here today on New Life. And I want to go right to the phones today, and I want to talk with Denise from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hi, Denise. How are you?
Hi there. How are you?
Hi. Great. What's going on?
I'll probably start out with one question, but throughout it, it's going to have a couple questions.
Okay.
The first question would probably be, am I setting up a confusing identity or a situation for my adopted baby? You guys might remember me calling about my 19-year-old a few weeks ago, and I adopted a baby, and you were surprised I started over, but you helped me out with him, so I have these questions ahead for this situation.
Okay.
I adopted a baby at birth and from a young girl that recognized she wasn't able to take, you know, the baby in her life at this time to raise him and provide for him. So I first want to say that I completely admire her for her courage and her unselfishness to do that. During her pregnancy, I developed a very strong bond with the birth mom, and I still keep it as an open adoption because she's only like 10 minutes away from me. So we had the so-called birth father's rights terminated, and the adoption is finalized and has been for about 6 months now. So now we have another guy that's stepping up saying that he thinks he might be the father because the baby's starting to look like him. Now, I'm all for open adoption. I'm all for the baby knowing who his biological parents are. As long as he's willing to terminate his rights with my lawyer, I don't have a problem with him having a DNA to find out that the baby would be his. Now, my family, on the other hand, has a whole problem with this whole open adoption thing, and they think that I just need to terminate everything with the biological family and kind of push them aside, but that's not what I want for my child. I want to be able to teach him. Now, am I confusing him by him knowing that he's going to have two to a biological mom and an adoptive mom, and is this healthy for him or not?
Okay. We got some answers for you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. Come join us.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
Here are so many other people that are going through the same things, that mm-hmm. love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Denise, and wanting to know if she's going to confuse her adopted child by him having an adoptive mother and a biological mother. Well, let me start, and then I'll turn it over to Mylon and Jill. You know, Madeline is my adopted daughter, and it's one of the great privileges of my life. And I would just say that adoption produces some level of confusion. And I think the key to not letting the confusion be an excuse to flip out or rebel or whatever is to connect with the child over that confusion. So, you know, I think it is amazing that this mother gave up her child for adoption, for the sake of the child. So I love it when people honor that and they keep their adoptive or the biological mother informed. I think this guy probably ought to know. And you can learn some things from him about future illness or predispositions by knowing who the biological dad is. So I think whatever you decide is going to be okay. That's what I think. If you connect with this child, understand why there would be confusion, distance, disconnection, and be there for the child through all of that. That's my take on it. Mylon, Jill, what are you guys thinking?
Go ahead, Jill.
Well, Denise, mm-hmm. I think for a child to know who certain people are is not necessarily confusing. To know, you know, kind of from day one, who relatives are, things like that. We tend to put our confusion onto kids, and they're in a different spot than we are. Okay? Right. Now, I think what becomes confusing is when the roles get confused. So mm-hmm. if you are the adoptive mom, if you are the mom, then you should be the mom.
Okay.
So it's so that means you are the primary parent.
Right.
Okay, and that's where the primary attachment needs to take place.
And
so
she understands that too.
Okay, so birth if birth mom is going to be in the picture at some level, okay, but I think that's for you to determine how much or how little based on what's best for the child emotionally.
Okay.
Mylon and I were kind of talking, and I don't mean to steal your thunder here, Mylon, but the idea of is this birth mom a safe person? You know, she didn't feel like she could handle the child, so she's given that responsibility to you. So you have the final say-so in this. So it would be confusing if he had, you know, two moms, two dads, you know, and everybody was kind of the authority.
Okay. I understand that, and it's not that way. She knows that my husband is his father. She respects every decision that we make. She doesn't override it. I just had his first birthday, and I wanted her there. I want him to see her on the video and be a part of his life. And I say, here, come and help open gifts. So she doesn't do things unless she wants me to be accepting of what she does. She doesn't override what I, you know, anything that I want. She doesn't try to be the parent.
And who do you say that she is?
Now, that's where my family has a problem, because I do say Mommy Brandy, and I plan on teaching him that that is his biological mom. And they think maybe I should just be saying Brandy.
Well, what's interesting here, Denise, is that with a primary caregiver, which would be you, the bonding takes place very strongly within the first year. And then by year two, it's very set in, the bonding to the primary caregiver, which is you.
Right.
And so, over time, what is age appropriate is important. You can give a small child way too much information, you know, that they don't get. They don't know what Mama Brandy means. That sounds like blah, 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 Brandy to him. You know, it just, okay. He doesn't know what that is. He's 1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to just, if this lady's presence is important to you, which is a separate discussion, I would not try to confuse the child with too much information way before it's appropriate. Maybe by kindergarten or 5 years old, 4 years old, they start asking questions. Now, who's Brandy? And when they start to inquire is a better time to give them the information than for you to begin force feeding that all the time at this point. So that's just thought number one. You're the primary attachment figure, and so is your husband. Number two, this is true with all children and really adults, what is shareable is bearable. So a child can bear things, all kinds of things, if they can share and process with somebody and have the ability to talk about what is going on here, who's this, and so on and so forth. Your primary goal is security with a child. You are loved, you are honored, you're adored, you're my child, I love you, and that's your primary goal. Third quick thing, just because you bonded with the birth mother still does not, and you've known her for, you know, 19 months now or 20 months,
right,
doesn't mean she's really a safe person in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do we know if the bio dad is a safe person. It takes time to see in different situations proven testing grounds whether a person is a safe person or not, and how much I'm going to give them access to whatever's precious to me, which might be my personal business, my heart, my child, my money, best friendship, my deepest, darkest secrets. It takes time for people to learn that. So I would not just be giving this because this person gave you the child, that you would just be giving this carte blanche, you are a safe person title to this person.
Okay, I think it does come more within me of feeling an obligation. She found me because I fostered, and it was through a mutual friend that she came about, and I just feel an obligation that she gave me this child, and I don't want to take that entitlement away from her that she gave him birth.
Right.
Right, but by having relationship with her or keeping her informed, You are honoring that.
Okay.
She gave up the right to be called mom.
Mm-hmm.
She gave up that role. Okay. She's asking you to take that on, and in a sense, you're saying share it with me. And you're trying to make her feel good, but really, she gave it to you for you to take on that role because she doesn't feel able to do it.
Okay.
So let her be the friend. Let her be the auntie. Let her be until, I like the idea of what Mylan said, till the child starts asking, now, who is she?
Okay.
Because then he'll have a familiarity with her. So it's not going to be some stranger out there, but it's like, oh, okay, when he's ready, it'll make sense.
And, you know, there are so many great books for adopted parents that you can pick up, and they really do help you know what the child needs at what age and how you can reassure them and move them to healing, because there is this separation issue with I think every adopted child, and they just need some help dealing with it and get through it.
But you know,
well,
Steve,
let me send you,
Steve,
yes.
Just one more quick thing. Mm-hmm. One of the points we're making in our new book, How We Love as Parents, is that parenting does something to us. It exposes things within us. And so one of the things this is exposing in Denise is an insecurity, some guilt, some obligation I'm beholding to you. And so there's this strong drive within Denise to have to pay back. And so that needs to really be dealt with, because down the road, this will continue to pop up.
Yep, that's right. All right, I'm glad you called. And anybody else, you need some help, you call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number where you can reach us. And we would absolutely love to talk with you. And we've got people that's what they do. Their whole life is committed to just talking to folks who need a little bit of guidance. Let's jump over here to Ron from Cuba, Missouri. Listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm doing good.
What's going on?
My situation is probably not as serious as important as the last caller, but I just wanted some advice. My wife and I, we've been married 11 years, and for the last three, well, it started 5 years ago, the intimacy stopped, and it's come down to she's just not interested. And she said, told me, I drive a truck, I'm home on Fridays, and talk to the kids every day, got two young kids. And she said, you know, she says, I understand it's hard. She said, just get a girlfriend, like a lot of truck drivers. And I said, I don't want to do that, you know, sin against God. And she said, well, from my mouth to God's ears, it's okay. And it's like, I don't want a divorce because of the kids' sake. So it's like, I just basically, would you have any suggestions how a Christian man could cope with that?
Yeah.
I would want to know who's her boyfriend.
Tell us how she got to this point. Or as Mylon said, does she have a boyfriend?
No, I don't believe. She says she's, no, absolutely not. She spends her time with the kids, and she's just not really, I've seen a pattern of this. You know, we were both married two times before, and she's not really, she's never had to work, and we've been blessed. She hasn't had to work, and I mentioned about her getting a job to help her down. She said, then what I need you for? And just by her past, she's just not really into men, and I even brought it up two weekends ago, that I can tell that you're not really into the marriage thing. I said, you like the benefits of marriage, but you're not really to do the... Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, I kind of agree with that. So if we don't speak of that area, intimacy, anything to do with it, anything that may lead to it, anything, as long as I don't bring that up, everything's fine. Great sense of humor, great mom, the best mom. But so it's, I know the Lord, if we abide in the Lord, and I do, and that's how I've been able to adapt for the last 3 years, because there's been nothing. But... I'm human, man. It's like,
sure.
You know, I see some temptation on every street corner, and I got to keep my thought life pure. I know, you know, sure. And I'm listening to the word, the promise now, the Old Testament, and I'm thinking, how cool would that be to have another wife? So it's like, I know it's not right, but that's the way I'm thinking. That's so, and I don't want to sin against the Lord. So, got any ideas, maybe?
What do you guys think? This is a one broken woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your wife has left you.
Yes, we would both acknowledge that we're in it for the kids' sake, and she says all she really needs. I finished raising her two children. They're out now, and we have two of our own, and she says as long as she has her kids with her, she's basically happy.
How old are your children?
6 and 8.
Oh.
And I just love the heck out of them. And I talk to them every day, and they ask me how many days until I'm coming home. And I have, you know, after the winter, I plan on getting I'm home every day then, but because some expenses have gone down. So
Ron?
That part, yeah.
First of all, I admire you. I admire your position. I admire your commitments. To marriage, to the Lord, to your kids, and to your sexual control, and all those things, and not violating what God wants, and even having a repulsion at your wife's suggestion, because a lot of guys would just jump on that and go, okay, and they would just run off and just go do that and settle for that. But I love that you are not settling for this. And so I just, first of all, want you to hear, I admire your position. It's rare.
I appreciate that.
It's rare. And that's the first thing I wanted you to hear.
Yeah, I don't want to take credit for that. I give that to the Lord. He gets all the glory and honor. But
you know
I do appreciate you saying that.
Look, you do get credit because I'll tell you why. The Bible says we each have choices to make. And, Joshua said it clearly, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And God thought that was so nice, he put it in the Bible. So, you know, people do make choices. I think you need to sit down with your wife and take the sex thing off the table for a minute and just say, you know, what are we going to do? Because if she's been married twice before, you're her third marriage, that probably means there's something within her that just knows how to resonate with kids but doesn't know how to, resonate in adult relationship.
Bad childhood.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
With her dad, actually.
Absolutely. And that's where I would begin my journey with her. Honey, I am not satisfied to sit here, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend some time. Because your wife is a history book. If she's 40 years old, she's got, 40 chapters. And I would just say, go back and tell me about chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. And tell her, I know there's a reason why you're not connecting with me.
And I would tell her, Mylan, that this isn't about sex. Mm-hmm. This isn't about me wanting to have sex with you. I want to know you.
Right.
And I would be working on the emotional connection with her.
Okay.
And that's where you start. You start, as Mylan was saying, and you create a safety for her to be able to talk to you. And you draw her out a little bit more each time. And you handle that with care. And you really sit with her in those feelings. Mm-hmm. And she might resist at first.
Yeah, it's going to take some time. And, man, if there's any way you could drag her to a New Life weekend, it would really be the best hope for you guys. We'll be back right after this. I'll send you How We Love.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Glad you're with us here. Mylan Jurgovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn, just answering your calls, trying to help. And, man, you know, it's pretty desperate when a woman could care less who her husband has sex with.
Very.
Well, that's a safety net, though, isn't it? If you really are fearful or you feel like men have done you wrong, what better way than to just, take the good
that's
and
right.
push the rest away? But how sad. That's not the way it's meant to be. And her children are going to grow up.
Yep.
And
let's go to Elizabeth in Sacramento, California, listens on the Internet. And hello, Elizabeth. How are you today?
I'm surviving.
Okay.
Thank you for taking my
call.
Well,
what does that mean?
Well,
quick background. I've been married for almost 10 years. And my husband and I had the best relationship when we first got together. We were truly best friends. I think he's always been an alcoholic, but a functioning one. And he, in the last 5 years, has really gone downhill as far as that's concerned. And obviously with the alcoholism comes the lying and the hiding and all that, and I have felt so distant from him. And I had an affair a couple years ago. It's been over for over a year. And we are separated now, talking about divorce. And just recently, I'm starting counseling for my own issues, and he is actually acknowledging some of his problems. So I kind of see light there at the end of the tunnel. And I guess my concern is, my feeling is that for us to really move forward and try and heal all the past hurt, we need to be honest with each other. And I don't know if that includes me telling him about the affair. Because I don't want to hurt him just so I feel like I'm, you know, doing the right thing by being honest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we always encourage people to tell at the right time. And it's important that you use really good judgment. It's never easy, and I would hate if you told him, then he just, just says, okay, forget it, when maybe he could handle it in 6 months or 12 months from now a little better than now. I don't know. Let's hear from Mylon or Jill. What do you guys think?
Elizabeth, it sounds like you both are really broken, hurting people who have been trying to kind of medicate those hurts and wounds with anything that you can. And you said that he's been lying, and so have you.
Absolutely.
And he's been into his addiction, and so have you. And now some of it may be in reaction to each other, but through the course of time, you both have done things to hurt the marriage. And so now you're in this spot. So I think if there is some willingness to move forward, I like the fact that you both are getting help, because I think you both kind of have to face the reality of your part in this hurting, broken down marriage. And that, you know, the two of you could not fix each other. The pain and hurt was bigger than that. And so all the acting out has occurred. And I think when you do tell your husband about the affair, it is more in the context of, we have both been hurting, we have both been hurt, we have both hurt each other, and that you also have lied and have been involved in an addiction. And that it's in that context. It's not about... you did more, now you did this, so I... No, it would be you guys going through a process of being in that humbled place where you're saying you want to, you know, become rigorously honest. Because if he's going to, you know, pursue sobriety, which sounds like he needs to, you do too. Sobriety in terms of going outside the marriage for the answers. In a self-medicating, destructive way, in a sexual addiction way, or a love addiction, or an emotional fix, or just pursuing something that feels good for a moment. So I think there does have to be some honesty, but it's in the context of all the things, because there's so much. The affair is just one of the things that has hurt this marriage. It's not the only thing.
Mylon, you have some thoughts?
I would agree that, and this is the value of a good couples therapist that is emotionally focused, not just on behavioral or thought patterns, but emotionally focused. Because if your husband drifted into alcoholism, there's a reason why. And you could have been really good friends. You could have had a lot of fun in the first, you know, few years of your marriage. But somehow reality and stress caused him to turn toward something, like Jill's just said, to self-medicate instead of someone. And the goal of healthy relationships is that we turn to someone when we're in stress and pain.
Mm. Okay. Well, hold on. I do want to be sure that you're going to get how we love. And I'm glad that you want to do the right thing and that it's over. And I hope and pray that you're doing the things that will prevent it from coming back. So God bless you there, and thanks for calling us. We'll take a break and come right back.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars. But EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
All right, we are back. I just want to be sure, Jill, Miley, don't have any further comments on our last caller.
Well, just a clarification, because Jill brought it up. She goes, well, Elizabeth did turn to someone in her distress, another person, but it was an illegitimate turning to someone.
Wasn't the appropriate person.
Wasn't the appropriate person.
And you were
person.
Talking about him
but
as
But I
the
was
alcoholic.
Talking about the alcoholic that we turn to a substance or in this medicative behavior to, instead of a person, to bring whatever the reasons are, we pull into that. So that was, and then Jill, what was there anything else?
Well, no, we were just talking about it. You know, it makes sense in context why we do things out of our pain.
Yeah. You mean Denise?
Yes. No, I mean Elizabeth. Elizabeth. You know, why
everyone
she would
Denise
you know,
has pain
want
too,
to feel better. They both do. So it makes sense that, we, you know, it doesn't feel good to hurt. But now, where they're at now, it's time to turn back and do it right, because the hurt will just continue.
Yeah.
Or to do it different.
Hey, let's go to Yumiko, Bakersfield, California. KKLA is the station. Hi there.
Hi.
How
Hello.
Are you? Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we
barely.
Can.
Yeah, just speak right up, and we're glad you called.
I'll talk loud. Thank you so much for being on broadcast, because I listened to you guys for 6 years, and it's been very blessed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah,
how could we help?
About it's the first time I'm calling, and I'm nervous. My niece, my brother, and my sister-in-law, they're going through divorces right now, and my niece is a 13-year-old child, and my sister-in-law is very manipulative, and she wouldn't let my niece come to see my parents. And basically, she's just like staying home with her, and my brother would go see my parents. And there's no contact with my family and my niece. And I tried to call, but since I live in Bakersfield and she lives in British Columbia, it's hard for me to always get in touch with her. And I email her, but she wouldn't always return my email. And we are the only Christian in the family, because my myself is the first one who has become a Christian. And then my brother became a Christian a few years ago. And my sister-in-law claims to be a Christian like 2 years ago. And it's really difficult, because supposedly, like other family members look at and they'd be like, oh, you're a Christian family. You're supposed to be blessed. But why is this awful thing happening to this particular Christian family? And my niece is going through the preteen thing. And because my sister-in-law is like telling all these bad things about my family, she's not calling my parents or nothing. And my parents are non-Christian. So I want to see if there's any, like, books or any materials I can give to her and my brother, so maybe they can read about it and help the situation.
Okay. Mylon, what do you think about this?
Well, you know, does your brother also live in Vancouver, British Columbia?
They live in Sherry, British Columbia.
Okay, so they both live up there. So, and when where do your parents live? Where do your mom and...
They live about 40 minutes away. They're also there.
I see. So they're also in British Columbia as well. Okay. And then what does your brother feel about your niece seeing his parents?
He really wants to, because he loved my parents.
Okay.
And so, they get along really well.
Okay, what's important here is, I don't know much about Canadian law, but if they are getting a divorce, probably like United States law, there are rules and laws and decisions by the court system that determine custody and custody rights. There are also grandparent rights that are drawn into a lot of these, you know, divorce and domestic proceedings. And so I would, you know, put the responsibility on your brother to say, you know, look, when you're with your daughter, you can do anything you want. You can take her to see parents. You can, you know, go visit. You know, your child does not have to be withheld from grandparents if the son is desirous of that. And, you know, the court systems in Canada should handle that and make that very clear. So I would say that that's part of it. I think the second thing is, how do I explain to my family that, you know, this Christian faith doesn't assure a foolproof life? And I think that's the message, that even though we can be saved, ultimately Christianity is being saved from an eternity away from God. It doesn't ensure that we're going to have a life that is free from pain or conflict or some of these realities. Yeah. So I would say those would be two major thoughts that I would have. Jill?
Well, and, you know, I mean, this is why God hates divorce, because it's all these things around it that make it so complicated. You know, divorce is messy whether you are Christian or non-Christian. And unfortunately, Christians are divorcing. And you usually see people at their worst in the midst of divorce, and people posturing to take sides and to make a case about things. In terms of the grandparents, you know, they are also adults, and your 13-year-old niece, can you hear? Your 13-year-old niece is still a kid. And so the onus for the relationship really should be on the adults. And it shouldn't be her responsibility to, in a sense, have to make God look good for the grandparents.
That's right.
She's just a kid. Mm-hmm. So if your parents reach out to her, you know, consistently, that's a good first step. And even with the court systems, I know I've been aware of some cases here where they first ask grandparents to make attempts at connection. So calling the mother and asking to see the grandkids, calling the granddaughter and wanting to set something up so that they, because they have to prove that they've made attempts and that the other side has been uncooperative, so that the mother has been uncooperative in, you know, granting access. The other complication, though, at 13, you know, she's still very much influenced by the mom, and that's who she sounds like she's living with, and she can refuse.
Right.
Visitation. And so that's part of the hurt and the messiness in all of this. But I think that loving, consistent pursuit, instead of grandparents getting their feelings hurt, is to really look at what the child is going through. She's caught in the middle. She right. can't really win here.
Okay.
And maybe you can help to smooth that through, Yumiko.
12 is a tough age.
Well, right. You're going through puberty and your family's falling apart. And sounds like dad's being made to be the bad guy.
But that consistency that you're talking about, Jill, is so important.
Right.
And even the consistency of the grandparents to maintain a relationship with the daughter-in-law.
Yes.
Say, you know what? Even though you're divorcing our son, you are the mother of our granddaughter.
Yeah, we maybe don't agree with the particulars, but we don't want to talk about that. We want to...
I'm going to maintain some sort of relationship with you as well, and I don't think that's talked about very often either.
No.
We hate you, but we're going to have a relationship.
Well, I think there's a practicality to it. We still have a shared child here that we all theoretically...
Well, it's not a pure divorce.
No, it's not a pure divorce. Divorce is a fallacy. You know, it just never stops if you have children. But the reality is that child needs as much support as that child can possibly get.
Right.
And so grandparents are going to be vital. Dad's going to be vital. Mom's going to be vital. And so if we can maintain some semblance of order here and mutual support, that's what we need to do.
Be the never-changing constant in a constantly changing world of a divorced child or a child going through divorce. And the rewards of that will be incalculable to that child, just to always be there. You know, when Madeline went through the divorce, she went through at 12. There were six or seven other women that were putting into her life that were there for her, and I'm telling you, she's a remarkable human being, I think, because of those other women who were there no matter what was going on.
That's a great point.
Be that person.
Yeah, people that are a step removed can kind of step outside of the craziness and help to make sense of life.
All right. Let's go to Leonard from Anderson, California, listens on XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Leonard. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm in Oregon now.
Okay. Are you on a speakerphone? Can you change something?
Hello?
All right. Well, hold on. We're going to go to a break, and if we can figure out how to talk with you there and here, we're going to get with you there, Leonard. You are listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to spend time with you, love to help you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please call us. And if you can help us, you know, it's all about transformation, transforming lives through truth and connection and hope. And if you don't have hope, so many people go to the New Life Weekend and they leave with hope. And it makes all the difference in the world. We'll take a break and come right back after.
Hi, this is Steve Arterman from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the temple steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible,
it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And let's see if we can get back over here to Leonard. Leonard, can you talk?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me better now?
Okay. Yeah, what's the question for us?
Okay, the question for you is... I have been led to start a men's ministry because there's a lot of hurting men out there, walking wounded, and I want to help to heal the masculine soul. And
okay.
I was wondering if this is coming from me or if this is coming from God, and how you could provide me with references and information based on your experiences that would be beneficial for me to start this ministry.
Okay. Well, do you want to do it alongside a church?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it seems like to me the first step would be going to that pastor. Mylon, you've been a pastor to church. What do you think? What do you think's the first step?
Well, I would come and share your burden, but I would tell them what you want to do or how you feel God's leading you. But the first thing, if I were hearing you in my office, I would want to hear your healing journey. And I would want to know, well, what was it? And what was the nature of that journey? And what have you experienced? Because basically the best ministries, the best stories, the best movies, the best books, everything are real life stories. That's what people really gravitate to. So I would want to know what's been your journey of healing and how's it helped you and why do you have a passion, and then what would your vision be out of that change in your own life? What would that passion be then?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I do have a story and a history that where I can relate, and I think that what I could relate would be beneficial for other men.
That's the story somebody's going to want to hear, because, and then you begin doing that one by one by one. You just start meeting with men. I know a guy in my home church that was an insurance guy, and he just started having coffee with guys and lunches and different things like that. And then he became the men's ministry director because he just had it invested into so many people's lives. And he just simply had a story of a changed life.
That's what I've been doing on an individual basis, and I just want to expand it into more of a group setting.
Well, and Leonard, that is a wonderful calling, and I think how you determine if, you know, God is in this or not is that as you meet with people, as you share your story, you know, what starts to happen? Because it's like we look for those open doors, we walk through them, the doors that close, okay, we look for another open door. But doors will open when it's something that God wants to happen and it's the right time. And so I like the idea of starting small and then, you know, gradually growing and coming alongside of what is the church already doing? because you're not there to, like, you know, necessarily compete with what the church is doing, but maybe add to it, enhance it, offer another branch of it that maybe they aren't doing at this time. I mean, churches are usually always looking for people willing to help and willing to be a part of things. And for you, having a passion, a heart for this, that could be a wonderful match. But I think you will see as you take the steps and ask people around you, you know, do I have my heart in the right place? Is this about me, or is this about really reaching out to others and really about God?
Yeah.
Yes. And no. I have, and people say that I have the discernment skills and I have a heart where I can help people to feel safe and feel good, that they can open up.
That's wonderful. Good.
Well, you know, I would say a great place to start is to organize something fun. Going to a game together, going to an event together, something fun that would bring out the most men before you decide to do the big, heavy conference kind of thing. Just be my little 2 cents on that. And if you need some materials, we've sure got them. We've got Midlife Manual for Men. We've got a DVD set that you can use, and it just kind of does it for you. And we have that in Every Man's Battle and Being Christian, and also in Regret-Free Living. So if you need anything like that, we would love to help you with it. And let me send you a copy of Midlife Manual for Men. See if you like that. God bless you there. Hope it goes well. And, you know, yesterday I met one of our neighbors, and she's married to a football coach. And she talked about how he ministers to the players, the families. They do certain workshops and things for underprivileged kids. I said, man, I'm just so glad that a man like him didn't get involved with preaching and being a pastor in a church, because, boy, do we ever need men like him out there in the community doing things like this and setting the example. And I just want to encourage all of you men to see yourself as just as called as any pastor or any minister of music, worship leader. God wants to use you, and you take what you've got, and you commit it to him, and you use him. Somebody said that they give to this ministry simply because if God could use me, he could use anybody. Okay, well, I'll go with that. And God does want to use you, and Satan wants you to believe that you cannot be used, that it's just too late, you've done too much. And I hope and pray that you're not going to buy into that you truly will come alongside and minister in some way that could change everything for another person. If you want some help in finding what it is to do, you could do it at a New Life Weekend, at an Every Man's Battle workshop. You could do it in a lot of different places. Do it with us. We'll help you. We'll give you some guidance. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, Mylon and Jill, thank you for all that you do for us here at New Life. Both of these people do counseling here in Southern California. And if you are longing for someone to talk to face-to-face, I don't know. Maybe their practice, when you do call, maybe they'll be open. Maybe there'll be a space. But in the meantime, Jill's written Jill has written The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets Young Women Keep, great books. And Mylon and Kay have written the wonderful book, How We Love. Now, they're working on how we love as parents, right, Mylon?
Right. We sure are.
What is taking
can't wait
so
for that
long?
One.
It's almost like your publisher is just dragging their feet, arms, and legs. We have to... Well, we're going to have to spank them if they don't get rid of it, don't you think?
I think so.
Okay.
But we're quite excited
anyway,
about it.
It's going to be great. I just can't wait for you to get it out there. All right. Let's see. This weekend is the Every Man's Battle workshop. So come and do that. Be a part of that. Regain that sexual integrity. And you know, if you feel like that you just are working, paying taxes, working and paying more taxes, that's your life. And there's no joy. We can help you restore the joy. That's what we love to see. And, you know, just call us and let us help you. Let us point you in the right direction. And if you can help us, we really need it right now. Please do. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com and tell us, hey, I want to be part of the giving family. It means a lot to us, and we take it seriously, the sacrifice that you make to give to this ministry. Thank you. God bless you. See you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.